Welcome to
the table.
Perspective.
Greetings and welcome to the Table of Perspective, where we take a deeper look into how the internal narrative of an individual determines their response to life itself and all it entails. Today, we are your hosts, Dinewo and
Bueller.
Welcome.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
A bit exhausted.
How are the listeners?
A bit exhausted.
It's a great way to start your day.
Do you think so?
It can only get better from here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything goes up.
Yeah. You can say that. So what is our title for today?
Today we are talking about one of the most essential things. Actually, it's not one of the most essential things, but as, you know, internationally, human beings have this one thing in line. Yeah. And they basically cannot survive without it, and it's food.
Food.
And food and madness, specifically, food. And how those things correlate.
Food. That's interesting.
Yes, it is interesting. And we'll get into that in a moment.
Yes. So let's quickly go to our first song. And our first song is C. Jones, X, Mada. Enjoy.
You're listening to Active FM. Christ Music is...
Hot Music.
If it don't first press your message, what would it be?
Make a promise.
Long as I breathe, I sing for him.
That's Jesus.
Christ the man from Galilee.
I will praise him.
Price he paid, set me free.
I will rate this.
Whole world know my king lives. Christ is behind everything we have achieved. We shine and we reign, and all the glory goes to him. So I place his holy name without ceasing. I will enter house of the Lord with thanksgiving every day. Wanna be soaked in his presence is perfect. Love is great, can't be measured, it's our present. Helping need our only refuge and we feel free. Wonderful made forever, grateful, so let's sustain all this fear and worry in due place. For we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
In a dry and thirsty land, I'll praise the Lord.
In a dry and thirsty land, I'll praise.
In the morning when I wake, I'll praise the Lord.
In the morning when I wake, I'll praise.
With everything in me, I'll praise the Lord.
Let the nation sing and praise the King.
Whenever I'm facing these battles, I know that pressing my weapon. Dissolving fear and depression, provoking God's innovation. These devils can never touch me, I'm on a different dimension. And brain my signs and wonders where God reveals his power. Whenever we lift him higher, his glory comes down. New seed up and new poor inside us, me not the old pleasant. Starting the pressure, checking the prison doors, we open. We blessed if something happens, he turns and stop begging. We thank him for this salvation, he rescued our souls from darkness. He loved us before we love him, he gave us his precious spirit. We're seated in heaven, blessed above, new lessons and powers to fill. That mouth to laughter, he gave us our high desires. We thank him for this abandoned provision of spiritual blessing. The mystery he done for ages and ages has been a bit to us. Chosen generation, God's own possession. Calling to this marvelous light so we could praise.
In a dry and thirsty land, I'll praise the Lord.
In a dry and thirsty land, I'll praise.
In the morning when I wake, I'll praise the Lord.
In the morning when I wake, I'll praise.
With everything in me, I'll praise the Lord.
Let the nation sing and praise the King.
I love food.
And is a specific type of food that you most enjoy, or is it? Give us some details.
I love the creativity.
Sure.
You know, being creative with food,
mm-hmm.
that's what inspires me. I tolerate cooking. I can cook.
Wow. Very good choice of word.
You know,
I tolerate.
Nearly
tolerate.
I'm not a fan. Like seriously, I can wake up early in the morning and say, guys, I'll cook for you. No, I can cook.
It's fine, I can cook. Breakfast in Danielle's house. Eating cereal. You
know? I can cook and I will cook for you, okay? Mm-hmm. If there's food in the house, trust you me, I'll cook and mm-hmm. I'll create anything. Whatever that comes into my mind for me to cook, I will cook. You know,
when are we coming over for lunch?
Anytime.
Okay. I'll be there tomorrow.
Done.
So yeah, done.
But yeah, you know, food, I love food. It's all about creativity. You know, be creative when you are in the kitchen. Play with your food, you know. Create something that you can make a madness out of it and enjoy it yourself, you know.
So, I think new mothers would really, they wouldn't appreciate that statement, play with your food. Especially as the kids are like throwing the food on the wall.
Oh, no, not like that, eh? Not like that, but...
In their face, in your hair.
You know...
It's like food everywhere.
I think for people who are chefs out there, I have a sister-in-law who is a chef.
Ooh.
And she went to school, she has a qualification, and she knows. Maybe she would definitely do agree with me when I say play with your food.
Yeah.
You know, she would relate to that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's like a kind of like a canvas or a medium of creativity.
Yeah. You know?
Really excellent.
Exactly.
I would definitely stand on you for that. Wow, that sounds awful. I would stand with you on that. I really... Same with... Yeah.
And
it's like it's a means of... For me, it's personally a means of... companionship or friendship or relationship.
Yeah.
It goes into the fact that you can create something every single day that is special.
Yeah.
Or just in servanthood and to others.
Yeah.
And people appreciate that. I don't know if everyone's like me, but I experience things very severely.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm very happy, I'm very happy.
Mm,
like if I'm extremely if I'm mad, I'm like mad.
Mad. Yeah.
And it's sometimes problematic, but whenever I have something special, if it's a type of food or a fruit or something that I've never seen, I kind of have a brain explosion moment and everything is overridden by this experience that I'm having to the point where it's just like, I'm kind of not present momentarily.
Mm.
So, and mostly food does that for me.
Wow.
Culturally, I come from a background where a lot of, you know, just life in general surrounded by food.
Mm.
In the Middle Eastern culture, if you reject food, you're like a dishonoring person in the family. You know, you reject
it. I hear what you're saying, yeah.
And then, like, if you're able to make certain foods that are culturally, you know, made, you're kind of like a valuable jewel kind of thing. It's kind of interesting. If anyone else is from the Middle Eastern culture, let me know what your thoughts are about that. And yourself, Dina?
And before we can go into that, like, what is your favorite? Do you have your favorite dish, maybe?
I have a very controversial dish.
Yeah.
It's something that I could eat every single day, and I have done this for several months because it's ratatouille.
Okay.
Ratatouille is basically like a vegetable dish with a tomato base.
Mm.
Something similar to that is minestrone.
Okay.
But I love curry.
Curry?
Big time.
Oh.
Yeah, I could eat it every single day.
Oh.
Problematic.
Wow.
My mom often gets upset at us because we're like, if she's making anything specific that reminds us of curry, we'll ask her, please make curry.
Please.
And then she's like, no, it's enough. Too much.
Wow.
And yourself?
I love potatoes. I love potatoes. Like I can do whatever that comes into my mind with potatoes.
Oh, wow.
Whatever that I'm thinking of. Like, you know that thing, that feeling, and you wish for something for the day and you're thinking, what can I cook?
Yeah.
You know? And then you're thinking, okay, I've got this, I've got that, I've got potatoes, I've got cheese, I've got...
Yeah.
What can I create out of that? It really does not... regards you to go out seriously and do some groceries, you know, but you can work with whatever that you have in the house.
Of course.
So if I've got potatoes on my dish, number one.
I don't know if it's common also if you've experienced this, but just the way that our household is set up is we don't really grocery shop for specific recipes.
Yeah.
So we have we buy standardized ingredients and then we make it up as we go.
Mm.
And I find that that's actually a much better way of learning how to cook, because
actually
you having to, you know, work with what you have in a sense, and this is where you actually learn to appreciate certain ingredients more.
Yeah.
Because adding them to something, and obviously keeping in mind you know, protein, carbohydrates, yeah, vegetables, all these things,
yeah,
you create masterpiece meals.
You
right?
do, you do. I think again it all comes with the love of it, you know. Yeah. There are some people who don't love to cook out there, but they yes. just love to eat, you
I
know.
I've said life, man.
They just love to eat, but they don't like cooking, yeah, you know. And of which it's okay.
Yeah.
And then you get other people who can cook and love to eat as mm. well. You know, I can cook and I would love to eat. I love eating. I love yes. food, you know. And then the reason why, it's because then, you know, when you grow up and you've got siblings and your siblings, they move out of the house and then you live with the parents
yeah.
and two and one sibling, you know.
Okay.
One way or the other, you're going to learn how to cook,
yeah,
you know. One way or the other, you're going to learn how to cook, and looking at mommy, what she would cook for the day and mm. everything, you know. So you get intrigued by that.
No,
and you grow up doing it. And mm. now that when you staying alone, whether you like it or not, you won't be always be eating takeaways.
Yeah.
And all of that, you know. You would need to cook,
yes,
you know, and cook. Buy yeah. groceries and cook. Yeah. So I think yeah.
Definitely I agree with you on that. And I have a huge fascination of specific ingredients. The fact that all over the world we have certain ingredients, and yet because of cultural backgrounds, traditional geographical influences, you actually find that people make extremely contrasting recipes with the same ingredients. Like, for instance, rice.
Mm.
All over the world, I feel like I speak under correction. Mm. But everyone has rice, in a sense.
Mm.
But in Mexico, they make certain dishes with, I think it's, they add chocolate into a stew, and they make it with that. Mm. And then you've got, you know, in European countries, they make rice differently.
Mm.
And it's this huge fascination of like how ingredients, and just because of the person using
it,
it's completely different. And to the point where I actually bought a book that's yeah. about spices.
Oh!
So it's...
Girl, you are madly in love with curry, really.
I'm telling you, it's a problem. It's just so fascinating how
yeah.
we have access to ingredients and herbs, and they add such vibrancy
they
to simple things, you know?
They honestly
yeah.
do. Just a quick one.
The history of it, yeah.
Do you think food can actually bring people together? Think
yes.
about, let's think more about the movies that we normally watch, like the Mexican, you know,
yeah.
movies. I've seen how Mexican people, they have passionate about cooking, and they would cook and they would cook for the whole family, and the family would be sitting there
yeah.
around the table dining and eating and having fun. Do you think it has that much of an impact to actually bring family together or friends, doesn't
yeah.
matter? And do you think is it important?
That's an excellent observation. I would yeah. say most definitely, especially Middle Eastern countries, Asian countries, Italy. I know when you go into the older generations, they kind of have this tie on family commitment through food. So just like you were saying, how they cook huge meals for families and stuff like that. It does have a way of bringing people together, because there's an adoration of certain dishes for nostalgic reasons.
Mm.
So, you know, maybe your grandmother used to cook a certain meal.
Mm.
And so you go back to family, and then it brings you together. And then, you know, you eat and there's now a different atmosphere about it, right? Because you're all doing the same thing, and there's an admiration for it.
Yeah.
And the same thing with friendships, I think. You can watch a movie and have something to eat that you've made, and it's a completely different experience because of food, in a sense. So I would agree to that. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think they do. Food has so much impact in people's lives, you know, regardless of what situations we may go through, and all the fights in between the family. But with
yeah.
food, you know, it's merging everything together, and we wrap up, and we talk, and we solve our problems, you know.
Yeah.
I grew up in a family, my family is very big, you know, and my mom loves cooking. She loves cooking, and she would cook, and she would cook for us. I grew up in family where we would sit
yeah.
around the table and dine around the table and eat, you know. Huge as we are, it would be awesome, you know, and the food that you will be eating, you're going to definitely feel that they were made with love, you know, because then mommy wouldn't mind to cook. She wouldn't mind to wake up early in the morning and cook for us.
Yeah.
And yet on the very same time, we need to go to church. But definitely she will make it, you know. You're going to go to church. And then when she comes back, she wraps up whatever that she has to. Then when it is that time, you would sit around the table. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. We eat the food. It's beautiful. And we have laughter, you know. We talk about if it happens that we have to solve the issue, let's solve it right there. If it's not the right time, let's leave it. Let's just enjoy what we're having at that moment, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's such a beautiful example. I love the fact that you mentioned how as a big family, even you're sitting around a table.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with a restaurant called Just Teddy. It's in Hyde Park.
Okay.
It was basically started by a family. Going to the history, they've recently written a cookbook. And in one of the chapters before the recipe, it says something along the lines of the best memories are a table groaning under the weight of food and the laughter that's brought, you know, with it.
I love that.
It's beautiful. It's a stunning image of how we live our own lives, and yet when we're together, there's this rejoicing because of a common need, and that's to eat, right? And I love how you were talking about how, even if you're having difficulties, I find that in a lot of families, once people stop having that that commitment of sitting at a table and eating a meal together, you're now sitting at the TV or you're rushing in and out and having a snack, whatever it is. A lot of the problems are not dealt with because you don't have to sit face to face, you know, with a person in a vulnerable position of feeding yourself, and you're talking about your day. The conversations are coming up and you're having to deal with stuff.
Yeah.
As soon as that kind of tradition is taken away, a lot of division happens in the family and in the home because you're not committing to sit together and to actually recognize that you're a family in a sense.
Sure.
Through a meal.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Beautiful, hey?
Definitely, yeah.
There's much
I've actually, I found some really crazy things on the internet about food.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you've heard of any of these.
Okay,
so
let's hear it.
Something very interesting I found out, I watched a video about it recently, is in England, they have a very, very dangerous sport where you basically roll down a hill following a wheel of cheese. And so what it says is, so it's just called cheese rolling.
Yeah.
And it's pretty self-explanatory. It's a 9-pound round of double Gloucester cheese, so a huge wheel of cheese, that is rolled down from the top of a very steep hill, and the competitors chase after it down to the bottom.
Oh my goodness.
The first person across the finish line is crowned winner, and the cheese is their prize.
Wow, it must be a huge cheese, huh?
It's fairly large, but the problem is, like, this is an unkept hill. There are sticks and stones and everything
in between.
And people, like, get to the bottom beat up and broken.
Ooh.
And they do it, like, I think annually.
For cheese. Wow.
And there's something interesting that I also found out in Mexico and in Italy. They have orange throwing.
Okay.
So it's a type of festival that happens. So in Mexico, they say that the locals mark the beginning of the sowing season on a Sunday with a 150-year-old tradition. And the legend
150.
Suggests, yeah, they've been doing this for 150 years.
What? 150?
Yeah. The legend suggests that orange throwing will ensure rain and a good harvest. So basically, it's called the War of Oranges, and people shake hands and make amends once they've beat each other up with oranges.
I think, wow, that's... That's interesting, because then if you have to think about it, if I'm having qualms with you and I'm going to beat you with an orange.
And then you shake hands afterwards.
Like, you know what? It's fine. Whatever happened, it happened.
It happened.
Let bygones be bygones.
There we go.
We make up.
And the Carnival of Ivrea is also a festival in northern Italy, which includes the tradition of throwing oranges between organized groups known as the Battle of Oranges.
Mm.
And it's the largest food fight in Italy and surrounding countries.
Wow.
People are always fighting with food somehow. What is this madness?
It is. Like, it's crazy.
Honestly, I mean, and then we often think about, you know, there are several countries in the world that they are going through droughts and all, you know, very difficult periods of time.
Mm.
And then you have other people in different countries with these traditions of abundance and they kind of waste it.
Mm.
I feel like it's a little bit controversial.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. It is, because I mean, if you have to look at other countries, they seriously take food serious, you know, and knowing how much they struggle to get that food,
yeah,
you know,
and,
you know, and they actually then taking good care of food. So,
but I think contrary to that, so one of my favorite movies ever are what is Ratatouille. I don't know.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched it?
Is it cartoons?
It's a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've.
Basically, there's like a rat that can cook. And, and when I think about that movie and all these different things that we've mentioned, they kind of, these traditions set the stage for a memorable part of the country. So France, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of France?
To be honest?
Food-wise. Yes.
Green. I'm thinking about green. Green color.
Okay, well, maybe. Let's try something else.
Maybe a salad. That's what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Okay.
Like you know, that Greek salad. That's
in France.
I'm just, you know, that you see.
Yeah.
That's what you put me on the spot. What is the first thing that you think of? So,
okay, let's think about America.
Oh, America burgers.
Right.
I don't want to lie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Italy?
I'm thinking seafood now.
Seafood?
Yeah.
You and I need to visit these countries because I don't understand how you... All right, let's try another one for love's sake. What about Russia?
I'm thinking about Russians.
Oh my word. I chose the wrong countries. Let's try Greece.
Okay, nothing comes in mind.
Nothing comes to mind. They don't eat in Greece. Okay. Mm-mm. South Africa.
Oh, chips. Slab chips. And that as well. Slab chips, but I'm thinking about slab chips in South Africa. Yeah.
All right, last one. Yeah. What about Australia?
Australia. I'm thinking about rolls. Bun.
Okay.
Yeah.
You and I need to do some documentary watching. I wasn't prepared for your answers. I appreciate it though. Definitely. But for me personally, I found that people have certain stereotypes of foods.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it goes back to the way that, it begins with what the country offers as abundance. So, you know, obviously the ecological system and the geographical positioning of a country offer, you know, it impacts what you can grow there.
Mm.
And people use those ingredients to then make something out of it. And that becomes a tradition.
Yeah.
Now, out of those traditions, it puts the country on the map, because when people think of certain foods, they're like, Italy is famous for A, B, C, and D.
Mm,
France, I need to go to France for baguettes and croissants. Mm. Or I need to go to America for big steaks and burgers.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And so there's this kind of, again, community that's created.
Mm.
And that's merely out of food.
Mm.
Because of what was growing in a certain place. And I think that we need to go back to honoring local ingredients. I don't know if that kind of throws it off a bit. But when we eat in season, we usually get better produce.
Mm.
Would you agree to that? What have you found?
Like, when you're saying when we eat in seasons?
Yeah, so we're eating what it is that grows in a certain season.
Certain season,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah, I remember back then, you know, I don't know, maybe the world have changed, which it has a lot, you know, but we actually had a season where we could grow peaches, and for each and every household, they would have a tree of peaches.
Sure, yeah.
So it was interesting, because then we would, even if one of us or maybe one of the neighbors, they don't have peaches, but they would come and ask for peaches.
Oh, wow.
And we would cook these peaches, you know. And make them
like jam
type of thing, you know. We would cook these peaches and we make a jam, and it's so nice because then we used to share with our neighbors.
Create it community.
Was, you know,
yeah.
And in that season. So and then after that, but yeah, that's what I can think of.
No, that's I love that example that you made.
Yeah.
So you're using the ingredients while you have them, and you've actually created the community.
Mm.
I know that many people that still live farmstead lifestyles, they store up their produce from that season, either bottled up and stuff, and then they use it during the year.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that it goes back to when we're eating in season. I was actually talking to my mom about this. And just thinking about how amazing God is to create certain ingredients in certain seasons.
And it is,
like winter. What is the fruit that grows best in winter? Oranges, lemons, citrus.
Yes.
And all of these things help us in building our immune system. And in, for instance, Iceland, you have a lot of very fatty fish. And when you're eating a lot of fatty fish, you're helping to insulate your body. It's like everything has been created for a purpose. It's just excellent.
It's so interesting, hey?
Yeah.
So interesting.
It is, very much.
We've got lots to say about the food.
You know what? Here's the show.
Let's go into our second
Let's go into our second song. Our second song is Endless Victory, and enjoy it.
I fix my eyes on your finished word.
Before we could wrap up our share about food, do you think I'm going to touch base now on certain foods that we need to eat in certain seasons and how they could be important for our health, you know? So do you think it's very important, whether seasonals or whatever, it doesn't matter. Do you think it's important for one to actually be cautious of what they're eating?
I would definitely have to say that. Okay. Because, so here's the thing, that culturally, if I go back to culturally, right? When you go, let me break it down really simply. I find that when you're living in a household, you're often having to eat what everyone else is eating, right? But you need to obviously use wisdom to eat, to create good eating habits. Because specific foods are not bad foods, right? But it's eaten in moderation. We don't need sugar. We don't need excess salt. We don't need fried foods. But they are there, right? Our lives are not ideal, which means that we're going to eat them sometime in our life.
Sure.
So now it goes back to creating the discipline of eating foods that will actually nourish you and seeing food as nourishment and not rather as comfort or pleasure, although they can be that, right? But you need to have a good understanding of the purpose of everything. And I think this goes back into almost all of our shows. Whenever we talk about anything,
purpose.
We need to find the purpose of something so that it doesn't become harmful to us.
Sure.
If we're eating, you know, in our households and we don't have a choice over what we're having to eat, we need to make a way or create a better lifestyle around our situations. Because we obviously, you know, all of our lives are ideal.
Sure.
But it's obviously encouraged to eat as much vegetables as you can.
Yeah.
And to have a, you know, a good amount of protein. And to go forward in eating carbohydrates as necessary. But that's basically what I would say about it is important about what you're eating, but I think it's also more important about how you're eating.
You see that one. That's a good one.
If you have...
I love it how you say it. How, you know?
Yeah.
I love it.
Because, it does really go back to the fact that our disciplines and our purpose really does define our interaction with the world. And food is one of those things.
Sure.
We can also sit at in our houses, in our pajamas, and just eat like chips and be full, right? We're full. But we're not healthy.
Yeah.
Are we losing out on opportunity of living a fuller life? Because we're like living in the state of malaise almost.
Sure.
And it's in our control.
It is. It is because then you have a choice. You have a choice to say, okay, let me change my eating habits, you know. And if we all love food, yes, there are people who love food. Like you did say that when you're happy, you're happy. And you would eat, you know. When you're mad, you're mad.
Unfortunately.
And yeah.
I'm asking the Lord for the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly with that as well.
Love, self-control. You know?
And I've seen how much impact it does to our bodies.
Yeah.
You know, my sister, she's one person who, if she is facing stressful moments, she doesn't eat. She hardly eats.
Yeah.
She hardly has appetite.
Yeah.
She hardly wishes for food or anything that can go down her throat and into her stomach, you know. But when she's happy, she eats.
She just eats and eats.
So, and then she can realize that if she doesn't eat, then she loses weight. But if she eats a lot, obviously she is going to get weight, you know. And I've seen how much if you are going to balance your eating habits and eating a lot of all those vitamins that you have mentioned, the carbohydrates, the proteins, you know, all of that, they help you with a lot of things in your body. And you yourself, you will be able to tell that, okay, if I'm eating this a lot, I get this a lot. You know, I've seen with me, if I eat too much sugar, I get all sickly and all of that,
you know. Definitely.
and but the minute I minimize the sugar, I feel better.
Yeah. I love the, and so, I appreciate the fact that you mentioned your sister. That's very common in that, you know, you can overeat when you're feeling sad, or you can undereat when you're feeling sad, or you can eat poorly food if you're, you know, if you don't have much time. And for instance, a good example would be of a college student. They can eat, you know, 2-minute noodles and a fried egg, but they could also, for almost the same price, if they are actually wise in using, you know, if budget is a problem, they can go to, let's say, reduced prices or markets and find vegetables and food that they can, you know, if you're willing to find a way, you would be able to.
And to change.
Yeah. And I really, going back to your sister as well, we needing to allow purpose over to override our emotion.
Sure.
Because the purpose of eating is not that we would have only pleasure, or that we would, you know, eliminate something else.
Sure.
Or merely just to pick up weight or lose weight. But it is that we would be nourished, because when we are well nourished, we are functioning our best.
Sure.
So it's all in purpose that we're making decisions.
Well said.
And that's something that I've had to learn, coming from being obese at one point of my life, because of cultural having to eat all the time when everyone's making food.
Yeah.
And now having to relearn what the purpose of food is, and how it can be something to celebrate someone, but it can also be something to nourish yourself, which is essential. So
that's interesting.
Yes, it is very interesting.
Maybe we should have another part two.
Definitely. Hey? How about that?
Yeah, we should.
All right, part two. It's going to come up.
Please, hey, look out for it.
To wrap up,
enjoy food,
mm-hmm.
be creative, mm-hmm. you know, but most importantly, also look out for your health.
Mm. Yeah. Definitely. Mm? Celebrate others with food.
Yeah.
Don't sit in the corner and eat alone. I 100% encourage you that you will probably pick up bad eating habits if you only eat alone.
Very true. You need to share.
So yes.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see you next time.
Same place?
Same time.
Same time?
Same place.
Cheers.
Bye.
Active FM is everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Gab, and so much more. See all the fun posts, get involved in the interesting discussions. Voice your opinions and get the updates by following us on social media.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, wondering how he could love me, a sinner, condemned and unclean. I once was an outcast, a stranger on earth, an alien by choice, and a sinner by
the greatest, he the GOAT. He the greatest, he the GOAT. On my knees, I let him know. Everything I do is show. I'm in all white like the Pope. All white like the Pope. All white like the Pope. If you wanna let me know, turn it up and you can ride with it. Turn it up and feel alive with it. Rap game, we the top in it. Black man looking fly with it. You just wanna get the money right. You just wanna get the money right. I just wanna live a good life. I ain't quitting till I see the bright light. Like,
he the greatest, he the GOAT.
You won't ever see me boast. Levitated, graduated with the flow. Everybody else wanna show they belts, wanna show they cars. I ain't tryna kill, I prefer to heal. I don't need a deal. Take away my heart and throw it down a hill.
He the greatest, he the GOAT. 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 I got fans like the ball.
I've been a victim of crooked lies in the system. Some backward ties that were mixed with some evil guys with no wisdom. I'm twisted, wicked, with emotions unlisted, vivid to the motions. Inflicted, gifted with a potion. I'm wishing distant in an ocean. I'm living, loving, living. I can't do this on my own. See these tears in my eyes. I need you and you alone. Lord, rid me of my pride. This evil lid is grown. Lord, clean me from inside. My heart is turned to stone. But you were crucified.
So take this evil and kill it. I don't want it, I don't feel it. I got problems on my shoulder that I'm way too young to deal with. Take my cup, Lord, and refill it. Take this demon and conceal it. Seek the truth and then reveal it. Man, the answer to all your problems, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I got the faith.
perspective of pork, mixed with a little bit of hope. These words you walk and quote, I live what I promote. This lifestyle ain't no show, I still got room to go. But I'm grounded, founded, confounded in Jesus from head to toe. Whoa,
I'm at my lowest, Lord, I'm down on my knees. Ain't got much, but I give you everything that I be. I'm at my lowest, Lord, I'm down on my knees. Take my life, Lord, do as you please.
I am not a pastor, I am a Christian entertainer. And I feel the greatest thing in my life is to witness for Christ wherever I have the opportunity to do so.